B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Richard Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In my opinion, if you're going to fight the war on terror, a good place to start would be this nation's haunted houses.
His one-liners that he would throw at the end of that episode of the show are just phenomenal. God, I miss... Fred and I were just talking about, like, you know, is he the funniest person? Was he the funniest person alive? I mean, I him and John C. Reilly, I think, are the only two people that make me laugh, like, in a different register.
Norm MacDonald, in my opinion, is by far the funniest person who ever lived. And at my age, I don't think anyone will surpass that. So that's a great loss. He did an interview with Vulture where they said, he goes, you know, I don't want to be thinking about that on my deathbed. And they go, do you think about your deathbed a lot? And he goes, yeah, why'd I purchase this deathbed? All right. Jason Mastrodonato covers the Red Sox for the Boston Herald. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Mastrodonato, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Absolutely. Good morning, guys.
All right, well, I'll tell you what is, you know, I watch a lot of youth baseball. And so when I go and I have Red Sox partial season tickets, and part of the reason I got the partial season tickets, and I swear to God, is I get to the games early. I like to see the way these guys prepare, and I like to see when the ball is in play, everyone's in the right spot. I swear to God, that's...
You pay for perfection.
I don't care who wins in these Red Sox games. I could care less if they win. I could care less if they lose. I watch Major League Baseball for the perfection of it.
Mm.
If you are at all the same, Mr. Mastrodonato, this has got to be an incredibly frustrating set of games. Win or lose. This is not a team that you would associate with perfection.
Right.
You know,
especially when they're not hitting and have to field the ball.
It's only the
defensive part.
I understand hitting. Hitting is, there's a pitcher there too. And a pitcher, a fine pitcher is an art form.
Sure.
And hitting is the most difficult thing in sports.
Right.
I get hitting.
It's not being in the right position.
I've seen Pujols go over 10. I mean, I've seen this. I'm talking about defensively, not being in the right spot, screwing up easy plays, letting the sun be a huge factor. I mean, we've seen it all from this team. What do you chalk that up to right now? Just guys playing out of position, guys. Obviously, your Schwarberg at first base is not. What do you chalk this all up to?
Probably pressures, feeling pressure. I mean, if you look at Hunter Renfro's season, for example. You know, didn't make a lot of defensive mistakes, was really a great right fielder, which kept him in the lineup even against right-handers. He wasn't supposed to play this much. Defense kind of kept him in the lineup all season. And he's hit better than expected, but largely they thought that even when he's not hitting, his defense is so good in right field, you play him anyways. Well, the last few weeks, he's just making dumb mistakes. I mean, just camping under fly balls and dropping them, not throwing. He didn't throw to the right base 2 weeks ago. You know, just like overrunning a routine ball that he's just supposed to collect and throw to first base. It's got to be pressure. You know, guys just trying to do too much. It looks like Renfro's trying to, like, get too up on every play.
Hey, Jason, I'm sorry to cut you off.
We got to, it's our phone. Our phone, this phone system is a joke. We got to call you right back.
Sorry about that.
It's clipping, and it's not you. We'll call you right back. Sorry to interrupt you, but we'll call you right back.
If you look at it before we get him back, how many guys are playing out of position?
Can you imagine being in your car?
I know.
And just hearing that clipping?
While we're calling him back, do you want to hear a baseball story from Norm MacDonald?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, is this Euchre?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
People come on the show and they say, when the next time you see Norm MacDonald, he's got some tremendous stories about the great Bob Uecker. Now, do you have a story you can tell us about Bob Uecker? Voice of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, Bob Uecker is one of my best friends. He's a great man. But Bob is a very, very funny man, and I go often go in the booth with him, you know.
Oh, sure.
So one time we were there, and John Fogerty was in the audience. Mm-hmm. You know, a fortunate son, you know. So John Fogerty was there. So Bob Uecker is a very interesting guy. He thinks of everybody as the same. He doesn't think of people as stars or anything like that. He's a very down-to-earth guy. So he was talking to me. He says, "Hey, man, you know that guy?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "That's John Fogerty, rock and roll singer." So I go, "Yeah, yeah, I know who it is." He goes, "Yeah, man." He goes, "But I played in a golf tournament with him." He goes, "You probably think of him as some that likes to bite the heads off of chickens, but this guy can...
That's exactly how I think of him.
This guy can get it out of the sand trap like nobody's business." So he goes, "He's got a hell of a set of pipes on him." He goes, "Come the seventh inning stretch, I'll have him up here. He'll sing for you." So I said, no, Bob, don't do that. Like, don't have him come up and sing for me, please, you know. He goes, "What's the matter, man? Don't you even know who he is?" He got all mad. So I go, "Yes, Bob, I know who he is. He did Creedence Clearwater Revival."
Yeah.
He goes, "Yeah, he did all that."
There you go.
Him and Artie tell that story on Stern before Stern started kicking his legs up on the table and playing songs for bands for them to listen to, their own songs. And Artie and Norm tell that story, but it's not on Letterman. Like, and it's even funnier. Like, they're really allowed to get into it. Stern now. Oof. Hachi Machi. Oh, boy. I had a friend tell me to check out an interview he did, and I was like, "Ooh, ooh." Oh. He puts his... Say you're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
He sits like this and puts his feet up like... Like, we're chatting. Get out of here with that. All right, Jason Mastrodonato. listen. I'm way
Does he have a popsicle sign like Dan Patrick used to have?
I'm so much better than him. So go tell him. He'll play this audio, so go ahead. He's the reason I got into radio. He's one of the best people of all time, one of my favorite people of all time, but I'm not into the interviewing technique anymore. All right, Jason Mastrodonato. Sorry. So, you know, we were talking about the defensive lapses, and you were talking about Hunter Renfroe and about how pressure might be getting to these guys. And you know, Renfroe, there's no excuse for him in right field. I mean, he's got an absolute cannon. I mean, the guy's incredibly physically gifted. And I was asking you if it was because they're out of position and you think pressure is more of a factor.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the errors, you know, like Kyle Schwarber at first base, obviously, two nights ago was an out-of-position error. He's never played there before. Although he's been okay. I mean, he's played 35 innings at first base and has made one error. But that was a huge spot in the game. And he just drops the ball. The ball's in his glove and it pops out. You know, Rafael Devers is making a lot of errors. He's been making errors at third base all year.
Yeah, he's not good. Do you think Devers ends up a third baseman? Like, in the long run, right?
No, and I think they seriously have to consider switching him and Bobby Dalbec in the offseason from first to third. The only problem is you have Tristan Casas coming up at first, maybe late next year, and you have to figure that out. But no, it doesn't seem like Devers is going to stick at third. He hasn't gotten really any better since last year. He's been pretty bad at the position for most of the season. So I think it's more of an issue of pressure and just trying to – do too much. It's like every guy's trying to hit a 10-run home run or make three outs in one play.
You know, it's funny because as I watch these teams chase wild cards, you see how much I hate to do this, but I got to bring up the Cardinals. They won last night. Now they're a wild card team. And there was a double play to end the game that was Goldschmidt to Molina to Arenado. And that's 5,000 gold gloves in a row.
Mm-hmm.
How much does defense, or does it, come much more into play as these games get more important as we get into the playoffs?
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, we saw it in 2018, how much defense helped this team win games even when they weren't hitting at the end of the year and how good their outfield was. And I think that's the last few weeks. I just keep thinking about Jackie Bradley Jr., Mookie Betts, even Andrew Benintendi in 2018 when he was playing good, and how different a team that was, not just because they were hitting. I mean, this team right now hits. It's the defense. It's really that. That's really what it comes down to, is how bad they've been on defense. And, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and we said, you can make the argument that they've gotten worse since Kyle Schwarber's been in the lineup. Now, their offense has been better.
Sure.
But they've had to move so many guys around defensively that they've played quite badly. And, you know, you're not the only one who likes a clean pitch game and a cleanly played game. I mean, Cora's the same way. Cora says there have been nights where they've lost, and Cora said, we played great. There have been nights they won, and he wasn't particularly happy with the way they played. And there's no question the defense has been atrocious, and they have not been winning games largely because of it.
Well, I would push back, Jason, and say it isn't the pressure that's getting to these guys. I mean, Schwarber and J.D. Martinez are both DHs, and one of them is in the field every night. Sometimes both.
I think we're all on the same page, Jason, is that Rizzo solved that problem. If I don't care. I know Rizzo's hit 5 home runs or had a couple nights ago, but his batting average wasn't great. But if you get Rizzo, by getting Schwarber, what Jason just said, and it's a great point, is you've shifted everything around.
It's a block that fits in the right spot.
And if you had gotten Rizzo,
this team would have been better by having him at first base.
You wouldn't have the offense, but you would play much better defense.
He hasn't been terrible.
I mean, Dahlbeck is a third baseman playing first. I mean, you have a bunch of guys. Verdugo has no business playing anywhere near that left field wall. I mean, he's awful out there. So this team that makes more errors than any other team in the league, and they may make the playoffs, but they're going to have to win games 8-6.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what do you do in the playoffs? I mean, who plays? How do you take Bobby Dalbec on the lineup? But you also need Schwarber's bat. You can absolutely see a situation where Kyle Schwarber kind of becomes a glorified pinch hitter, right? Where their big trade deadline acquisition is just coming off the bench in the seventh inning, and it worked last night, right? I mean, hey, that's great. You need those guys. But to me, I think we talk a lot about the COVID outbreak and how it kind of changed their season, and I think COVID kind of saved them a little bit in that people are giving them a break now. You know, it seems like Red Sox fans are a little less hard on the team than they were a few weeks ago. It's like, well, they had COVID. They had 14 guys on the COVID list. You know, what are you going to do? Obviously, a lot of that's their own doing because they're one of the few teams who's not vaccinated at 85% of the team. But I think it's actually saved them in a way that people are not being so hard on them. They're just like, well, you know, COVID happened. What are you going to do? I think they played better baseball when they had some of these minor leaguers up here, like Jack Lopez and Aruz. You know, that game they bunted 3 times. That was a beautiful game, and they won that game by bunting. You know, they were playing better baseball a few weeks ago. So, to me, I think the COVID excuse is almost like it kind of helped them. It kind of alleviated some of the pressure.
All right. So, what's the reality then with them tied 3 ways right now for that wild card spot? When you take a look at the remaining schedule, who they've got coming back, I know Chris Sale's going to return. I believe it's on Friday, they're saying now.
They're hoping. Yeah.
They're hoping. So what's their reality when you look at their schedule as opposed to the other teams that they're fighting against? Where do you see this all ending up?
Yeah, it's just it's hard to see the Red Sox missing the playoffs just because their schedule is so easy. You know, if they lost last night, totally different game. I thought last night that was one of the biggest games of the season. Because if they lose, Seattle's 1 game behind them now. They got all the momentum. They've won the series. That would have been the 8th straight series against a winning team that the Red Sox did not win. They haven't won a series against a winning team in a month and a half.
Wow.
And now they have a chance to win that series, to pick up some momentum. And then they have to go home and play Baltimore, who's been terrible. You know, the Mets obviously aren't playing well. The 3 games against the Yankees is the only thing you have to worry about, but that's really a chance for them if they fall behind to catch back up. And then they end with a cookie schedule, 6 games against Baltimore and Washington. So it's like, I don't see how they miss the playoffs. And on top of that, they've got 4 off days in 12 days, so they can manipulate their starting rotation to make sure that Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale are pitching half the games down the stretch and put other guys in the bullpen. You know, push Tanner Houck to the bullpen and get some innings out of him in the bullpen. It's been a mix and match game for Alex Cora to get through these games with his bullpen. It's amazing they're still winning games, really, with the guys he's had to use in his bullpen. But I just don't see how they miss the playoffs given how easy their schedule is. And if they do miss the playoffs, I don't think anyone's going to feel sorry for them or even really care, because if they can't win these games down the stretch, how are they going to beat anyone in the playoffs?
Yeah, All right. It should be interesting. And 4 o'clock today for the Red Sox. Jason Mastronato, read him in the Boston Herald. Always like having you on. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Appreciate it. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything's slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Greg Giraldo is here. No, but Greg Giraldo, I'm just joking him. He has the grace of a swan, the wisdom of an owl, and the eye of an eagle. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is for the birds. Susie Essman, of course, is famous for being a vegetarian. Hey, she may be a vegetarian, but she's still full of baloney in my book. Gilbert Godfrey, one of my best friends. I love Gilbert. Oh, by the way, Gilbert, when you go to the men's room later, you'll see a sign that says, "Gentlemen, pay no heed, go right in." There's no room that says scoundrel on it. But now we come to Bob Sagan. That's why we're all here. Bob, you have a lot of well-wishers here tonight, and a lot of them would like to throw you down one, a well. They want to murder you in a well. Seems a little harsh, but apparently they want to murder you in a well, it says here on this card. Now, but Bob has a beautiful face like a flower. Yeah, cauliflower. No offense, but your face looks like a cauliflower. No, there are times when Bob has something on his mind, when he wears a hat. Bob is not very worldly. He thinks the English Channel is a British TV station and not a body of water separating England and France. And Bob isn't the biggest sports fan. I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school. I took him to a ball game, and he came toting a double-barreled shotgun. You remember that? I said, "What the H is that for?" Bob said, "I heard the Lions were playing the Tigers." You remember that?
Yeah.
No, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's never bought Christmas seals. He told me he wouldn't know what to feed them. This concludes the joke. In all seriousness, Bob was the first comedian that I ever saw perform when I was a boy, live, and I loved him. But one thing that bonds us as comedians is we're bitter and jealous and we hate everyone else that has any success. But Bob, honestly, has never had an unkind word for anybody, and I love him, and I hope everybody else does, so I just want to say that. Thank you.
All right.
It's my favorite Norm MacDonald moment.
It's funnier in the context of the rest of the roast, but yes.
I didn't even need the context. I watched that twice yesterday.
Well, you knew the context. That's the thing. All right. 617-779-0985. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah. Mastronato was the second guy I heard in the last
24 hours refer to Schwarber's game time as 35 innings. He's been playing 35 innings at first, and he has one error. They're making it sound like he's played.
Yeah, I was going to say something. That's not a lot of innings. I mean,
and not only that, when he brings up Devers making a lot of errors, I think I looked it up. He has like 12 or 13 errors on the season.
20
at this rate.
He's got 20.
20. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Never mind then.
Devers does what? I've heard the same thing, and I agree with you. Yeah, 35 innings at first and having an error with a ball that popped out of your glove is not good. I mean, you shouldn't have 35 errors. You should go 35 games without an error.
Yeah, that's one in less than four games.
And that also doesn't take into account, you know, there's much more to judging a person defensively than errors. I mean, there's, you know, balls that you get to and picks you make, and I don't watch every second of every Red Sox game, so I can't tell you that.
Yeah, it's one or two a week at first base is what that is.
Yeah, which is not good at all. That's not good. I agree with you, Kevin.
Six guys playing out of position.
I just thought it was a real manipulative way to put it in. He's not the only one referring but his to it that over, way either. Multiple people are.
But his overall point was how bad they are defensively, which is why I let it go. So, like, his point was, I mean, listen, if you get Rizzo, that solves all of this. They should have gotten Rizzo. They should have. And they wouldn't have had to overpay for him, and he would have got slotted into first base. And Rizzo is, I don't think, hitting for average right now. The last time I looked, which was a while ago, but he had five home runs. It's not like he's out there struggling. Arthur, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, can you hear me
what's
okay?
Up? Yeah.
Okay, so Fred, going back to your, you know, hiring somebody and then they, you know, they come to your house and your son pushes the button and the thing works. Once upon a time, I was in business for myself as a home improvement contractor, which is a fancy way to say a handyman.
Which I would love a great handyman, but go ahead. The most valuable thing you can have is a homeowner. Go ahead.
Most people, would say that. So I got a call, an email to go to the Intercontinental in Boston. Woman was named Victoria, and I actually found the name. So I'll give you the name of the Boston athlete in a minute. I found it. I didn't have it when I first called. So she has me up to do some stuff. It's, you know, most of the regular stuff I do, hang some pictures, you know, basic things that I would do all the time. One of them was to hang a mirror above the headboard of their bed. And it was big and heavy. It was kind of awkward because I had to stand on the bed to hang it. And I put, you know, I had the anchoring all set up. It was all measured out. And then I go to lift the thing, and I can't do it. Like, I can't, like, if I do it, the risk is I'm going to drop it and I'm going to break something.
Right.
So I go and tell her, you know, Victoria, I'm like, I can't, you know, I'm not strong enough
to pick it up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I learned it's better to just fess up than try it. And then versus breaking
right.
this that cost $1,000.
Sure.
So she says, okay, let me get Matt. So the former Bruin, Matt Bieleski. I don't think he was here long.
No, Bieleski. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
I know that guy.
Yeah, it was a terrible trade. Right.
But he's still active in the NHL, but he's napping. He's like sleeping to get resting for the game. So, because he has a game that night, and she goes and wakes him up and has him help me lift the mirror on the wall.
Oh, that's probably why he struggled so mightily while he was here in Boston.
He's still woken up.
Yes. You're waking him up. Yes, I had someone come over to help fix the TV. Not only did I end up figuring it out, I had to just help the guy the entire time. Ricky, go ahead.
Hey guys, steak and eggs.
Just wanted to
call in with a quick take on this fancy like Applebee's song that you guys have been talking about. Everyone's been talking about. It's, you know, the most popular song right now in the country. So a couple years ago, Fred, you pointed out that there was a Portugal the Man single that was a direct ripoff of Wait a Minute, Mr. Postman.
Yes.
And after hearing this song, the chorus in my head, like the last 3 days, I realize it's a direct ripoff of the Hokey Pokey. Like, literally, the most popular song right now in America is the Hokey Pokey repackaged as an Applebee's commercial. So,
is it the dance is the Hokey Pokey or the song is the Hokey Pokey?
So, if you sing the Hokey Pokey during the chorus, it lines up perfectly.
Oh, boy.
Well, maybe so anyway, a stretch. Let's see. Left foot in, put your left foot out. You put your left foot in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Oh, come on. That's not.
Well, it shows, if anything, Ricky, it does show how elementary and horrible the song is. So this is terrible. Turn it off. So please turn it off. So in my research of this gentleman, he had a song back in 2017. What is this guy's past like? What is this guy? He's a country artist.
Yeah.
So there is a song he put out that is considered by many the worst country song of all time. And it's called, like, You Left Me. And he sings, in quotations, that exact way. That's the way he sings. So apparently the deal with this guy is they push him to country radio because they know that no pop station would play him. But the stakes are so low in country radio that if you are a big enough, because he's with basically Sony Records, that if you push something to country radio, it's like 1,000 times more likely to get played than pop radio.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the resentment of him in the country community, because he would not be labeled country by any standard. But they know he would ultimately fail in pop radio. So basically what they're saying is the country radio is the slow class of the pop of sure. commercial radio.
Well, basically there is a whole genre of successful commercial radio country music out right now that is a rap country hybrid. And it's not just like every once in a while is a little bit of rap. Like, they're rap songs or top 40 songs with the bass beats behind it. As a matter of fact, pull up a song if you don't mind. And someone made me hip to this yesterday. They said there's a song called When I Pull Up by Justin Champagne. All I had to do was look up the picture. And it's like, it's basically one of these, like, trucks, but it's got, like, hydraulics and stuff.
Right, but it's okay for the white Southerners because it's a pickup truck.
Yeah. And, like, they all look like this guy.
Oh, well, he's like Jelly Roll.
Yeah, he looks like Jelly Roll. But this is the kind of stuff it gets
but
played.
But at least Jelly Roll, as terrible as Jelly Roll is,
he's a rapper. That's not country. Right, he doesn't try to pawn it off as country music.
So this guy is a 41-year-old guy, and I don't want to talk about this song every day, I guarantee they go, let's make you sound black, but enough that everyone knows you're not black. And that's why it's just awful. And he can't sing. So why are you a singer? And why did you get signed? Like, why is this all happening? No one seems to like this guy. No one likes this guy.
You say that, but it's been, the song is like number one.
Doesn't mean anyone likes it.
It's number for 8 weeks, Dan said, for 8 weeks.
Well, that's the country chart. It's now they're doing that remix and they're going to release it as a pop single.
Yeah, with Kesha.
With Kesha.
Yeah,
so,
but
right.
Eight
weeks. So you think of the last 8 weeks, sorry, Fred. It's almost the majority of the entire summer that song has been number one on the country chart.
Well, and that's just by the insistence of that label.
Yes.
So apparently the country charts are very easily to manipulate. It was the point of this, is that it's much easier, as easy as it is for, you know, like, it, once Post Malone has a hit to just force it down people's throats. Apparently, if you're a country artist, it's 1,000 times easier to manipulate country radio and the country algorithm to get people to like your song.
Okay, so Steve Earle's kind of Steve Earle, you know, Nashville, somewhat of a outsider, always kind of been like an outlaw, songwriter.
The heroin guy, son OD'd.
Well, Steve Earle did an interview, and he said that the new country music is just hip-hop for people who are afraid of black people.
Well, which is what I've said several times right here on this radio show.
Right, he goes, the best stuff coming out of Nashville is all by women except for Chris Stapleton. He's great. The guys just want to sing about getting effed up. They're just doing hip hop for people who are afraid of black people.
I've said that.
He goes, I like the new Kendrick Lamar record, so I'll just listen to that.
That's why I said, why doesn't this guy just put out a hip hop record? Mm-hmm. Because apparently the country is the easiest thing to manipulate. And that's why everyone who buys into this stuff is a moron that's being played by basically a computer algorithm that has figured out what to do. They sat in a room, Rich, and they said, let's see how black you can sound without people thinking you're black.
Sure. They turned the dial as far as they could until their hands started shaking and it went the other direction.
And it's a white guy from Utah. It's a white guy from Utah.
Man.
That's why it bugs me so much. And that's why the dance bothers me so much. Because it's like a dance. I don't want no one thinking I'm black. So I'll just do this dance where I barely move. All right. What's going on, Rich? What's happening in this town?
People seem to, speaking of rap music, people seem to really like Kanye's new album. And Julian Edelman makes his Inside the NFL debut, and he's...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Got jokes.
Oh, I'm sure they're very funny. Here are the headlines.
In the old days, they go, hey, that old man died. Now they go, hey, he lost his battle. That's no way to end your life, you know. What a loser that guy was. Last thing he did was lose. He was waging a brave battle, but at the end, I guess he got kind of cowardly with what happened. And then the bowel cancer, it got brave. You got to give it to the bowel cancer. You know, they were in a battle, and then, what the And I'm pretty sure, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if the cancer dies, I mean, if you die, the cancer also dies at exactly the same time. So that, to me, is not a loss, that's a draw. That's a, you know what I mean? It's not like the cancer's going to jump up and go, Uncle Bert's wife. Where is he? I won fair and square. This is where he works? Hi, name's Cancer. How are you? Where do I... You just show me to my cubicle. Bowel. First name is Bowel.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the sports overtoucher and Rich, in my opinion, the funniest man to ever live. Norm Macdonald died yesterday, so that's a shame because given my age and experience, I'll probably never find anyone that funny again. But there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, is there a sponsor?
No. There's not a sponsor today. I saw this story.
So there's a sponsorship up, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to sponsor the stack.
There you go. There is a spot for everything.
The very popular stack segment.
That's right. So there was a news story that came out yesterday, and it was Todd Rundgren, the I don't want to work, I want to bang on my drum all day guy, commenting on the new Kanye West album. And I remember when I saw the headline, I'm like, who the hell really cares what that guy has to say about that? And then I realized, because Kanye West is out of his mind. Apparently, Todd Rundgren has been helping produce this Donda album for over a year now.
Okay, so I know a lot about Donda.
Okay, before you get into too much of the Rundgren stuff and the making of it, tell me why Todd Rundgren.
Okay, so what Kanye did is he has an exceptional amount of money. And so what he did is the guy who contacted Rundgren was not Kanye. It was a guy by the name of 88 Keys. Who was also producing this album.
Wasn't that a bad guy in the Dick Tracy movie? That's an awesome Dick Tracy reference there.
Wow.
I think it might be. Look it up. And if it is, give me a cookie.
Was he like a piano player?
He was a piano player.
Like the,
goodness.
But the Stratosfosky or whatever the Stratosfosky
or
whatever it is.
I don't know what you're talking
if
about.
You hit a certain note, like it was a blinding note. Kanye was literally like, just asking everyone to do stuff and like flying people in to do verses that never made the album. Like he went crazy with this record. And
he was Dewey Cox, as Mike Lockhart made a great example. Remember the Dewey Cox movie where he was bringing in goats? It was basically a play on Brian Wilson
doing
losing
Pet
his
Sounds,
mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and then what happened is, he knew Certified Lover Boy was coming out by Drake and him and Drake are in a big feud. So he had this whole manic, weird thing where he was, you know, doing these listening parties and stuff. And then he panicked and released the record, which is a cacophony of non-linear 21 songs. And in Rundgren's opinion and opinion of many, it's a mishmash of garbage.
Well, he said, so Rundgren finally opened up about it. He was doing an interview for like Guitar Magazine or something. And he said that he had amassed 3 albums worth of Kanye stuff on his computer.
And this is one guy.
This is one guy.
Out of like 100 people that worked on this album. So he's got 3 albums worth of stuff.
He said, I didn't mind working on his gospel stuff. If you want to sing about Jesus, go ahead. I don't care. I'll help you, you know, do it. He said, if you want to sing about your troubles with your wife, go ahead and do it. I don't care. He talked about the early sessions. And he said, but over time, Rundgren grew frustrated with Kanye. He said, quote, when it got to the home stretch in July, I just said, that's enough for me. I have no idea whether any of this is being used. He said, you don't get much feedback from him regarding what it is. He said, if I contribute to something, fine. If I can't, just let me know. I'm out of here. There's a possibility that I'm actually in there somewhere. There's so much junk on that record. So, and as you said, he goes, he was too afraid that Drake would one-up him, so he hurried up and released the album the weekend before Drake could get his out. And then Rundgren says, in the end, Drake ate his lunch anyway. He said, he's just a dilettante at that point. Nobody would regularly make records like that unless they had stupid money to throw away.
Read the best line.
He said, nobody rents a stadium to make a record in. Nobody flies in the entire world of hip-hop just to croak one syllable just so you can say that everybody was on it.
But, no, the best line is, as a musician, he's a shoe designer.
Yeah, right. He's a shoe. Well, you heard about, in the making of the album, everyone who was involved with the production or came into the studio had to wear the Kanye West clothing line. They all had to wear something from, what is his clothing line called? I forget.
Yeezy?
Yeah, I think that's it. They all had to wear his stuff.
So anyway, the way this album is being explained away by people that really need to explain it is that, well, Kanye released this album knowing how people consume music now, in that they will take your record and take the songs that they like and make their own playlists, to which I would say, the way you consume music is you want to hear good songs.
Yes.
You don't want a bunch of throwaways. Like, what a nice way to say there's a bunch of garbage no one's ever going to want to hear twice on it.
All right, so I have, because I don't really care about Kanye West.
He used to be great.
Well, I had the College Dropout, and I had the one that was after it with, is the College Dropout the one with Gold Digger?
No.
And Touch the Sky? I forget which one that is, but I had that one too. So I had two of them, and they were fine. They were very good. But I don't care about him. Over the past like 15 years, he's lost his mind. And he did the gospel stuff and everything was strange. So I have not heard any of Donda. So I told Mike, I said, Mike, just get me clips from 3 random tracks. And this is apparently one of the tracks from him.
Donda, 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 Donda. Donda, 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 Donda.
He's a genius. You just don't get it.
Donda, Donda, Donda.
How long does this go on, Mike?
Donda, 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 Donda.
Over a minute. This goes on. Donda.
So that's one of the tracks.
You don't understand, Fred. It's his mother's name. It's his dead mother's name.
Yeah. Here's another track.
If I hit you with a WID. You better not hit me with a H-E-Y. It better be like, hi, with a bunch of eyes. Or hey, with a bunch of eyes. I lit 100 lies. So that mean I had 100 wives. And I am just simply high off life. For 100 times. Never let nobody curb me, they don't deserve me. Should I really bought the Burberry last Thursday? Wear a different color jersey every Thursday.
All right, when the beat kicked in, it was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah, that part was fine. And here's another track, apparently.
It's a Guitar Center practice session.
Wrists up, Johnny. Wrists up.
Stop this.
All right. So apparently, someone said,
please stop playing that song, dude.
It's the track that is a tribute to his mother who died, that Donda.
No, I know.
But they say it's her last heartbeats as her voice.
Okay.
How do you know that's her last heartbeats?
Okay.
You record her last heartbeats?
And regardless, it's okay. Whatever. We don't get it. It's the art's too good. It's too much. fine.
Listen, me sitting here and reviewing the new Kanye West album, who cares? Because I honestly am not an expert on anything hip-hop or rap. You want to bring me the new Sepultura record, I'll tell you whether it's good or not, and whether they need to get Max Cavalera back on vocals. But you do this, all I know is what I just heard right there. This is not something that I would in a million years want to listen to.
The people who's... There are a couple guest verses on it that are good.
So he had nothing to do with it?
Well, no, just there's... I mean, every hip hop act does it. I mean, there's guys.
But you're saying the good parts didn't feature Kanye.
There's two really good features, and I mean, you know, he produced it, so I'll give him that. I mean, there's a couple good songs on the album, but it's 21 songs, some of which are repeated, some of which are just of different versions of the same song.
Nothing repeats. What are you talking about?
Donda.
Okay, thank you.
Donda.
Yes, Donda, of course. Okay. All right, so congratulations. I just love how Todd Rundgren came out and said something about it. I'm like, why does that guy care? I'm like, oh, somehow he was involved with this album. That completely makes sense.
Yeah, one of the 5,000 people with the hands in it asked him to get involved. That's true.
And Julian Edelman is now looking for work after he is... said Foxborough Forever and got beamed up on the spaceship.
Just going to say, it didn't all go well when he got beamed up to the spaceship?
No, it went great, apparently. Listen, if you're on Inside the NFL, that's a great gig. Like, that's a
what
really
network
good,
is it on?
It used to be Showtime.
Now where is it?
NFL Network? Did they move to the NFL Network?
I thought it was Paramount.
Mike says the Paramount
Plus.
Network.
Yeah, it's Paramount Plus.
Maybe not such a good gig. Okay.
Maybe not a great career move.
Hey, it's...
Well, it's a move.
It's a name, and it's a good show.
He's not in a position for a great career move. I mean, this is foot in the door.
Yeah, I'm not going to crap on him because that's a show that people know the name
no,
of.
Whoa. I'm not crapping on the guy.
No, John's crapping on him.
No, I wouldn't crap on him for taking Inside the NFL. I'd crap on him if he had the Julian Edelman podcast.
All right. Sure.
That's whatever.
Yeah.
Or if he was on The Masked Singer or something.
I might be wrong. Let's hear this.
Only stars are on The Masked Singer. Yeah, you know that.
I would argue that.
So, Julian Edelman.
By the way, Nick Lachey won the season of Dancing with the Masked Singer.
Oh,
and you know how you knew it was Nick Lachey? It was Nick Lachey the whole time. A singer.
Yes.
Ha.
Okay, here we go.
What are we doing?
I had a mental nightmare.
Oh, that was great.
Because I heard it so many times. And what he used to say was,
Belichick.
Basically, what are we doing out here when there was any kind of bad fundamentals, bad football? He was on a mission, as he would quote, to stomp out bad football. Mm. And to lead into that, he would always be like, What are we doing out here? What are we doing?
Okay, well, there's a good insight into the Bill Belichick.
No, it's not at all.
I learned something there?
No.
What are we doing? Bill Belichick doesn't seem like someone who would say that.
No, he seems like saying, what doth are we up to? Okay. His mission was to stomp out bad football, as opposed to most coaches.
Donda.
Yes, Donda.
Right. Donda.
It was her last heartbeat. It's needed to be done. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for us. Everyone, enjoy your days.
Jay Farrow in studio tomorrow.
Got Jay Farrow in studio tomorrow. Bankroll Boys, whole lot of stuff. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.